Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Welcome. If we've never met, my name is Kevin, and just a privilege to be able to be with you here today. I just want to say, last week I took off. October was an exhausting month for me. Some of you know that. Highs and lows had like a roller coaster month, maybe one of the most extremes in my life. Had multiple weddings that I was able to do, multiple funerals, including my grandparents, who both passed within 20 days of each other, which they're in a better place. God is good. But just wasn't easy doing one of my grandparents and then having to do another grandparent. So I just was able to be a grandkid, just said, I just need to be present. I need someone to minister to me. And then Becky getting ordained, my wife, Reverend Becky Beers. Woo-hoo! She is just amazing. She's already gifted, and now I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. Now it's a public, she's gifted thing. And we get the benefit from that every week. You guys don't know what we have in Becky. She's just awesome. I'm lucky. I think I married up, I think, a little bit. with that said, you know, I found just a lot of things, just a lot of things at one time in one month, including, and many of you have been praying, we talked about Christ the King Seminary, right? It's a potential spot that we were looking at, and obviously, if you've watched the news, it was too much for us as a church. It was wise to not do what we were doing after due diligence. But also now we have a group that has bought that in the last week that doesn't necessarily follow the ways of Jesus. And so they'll be in our community. And so I'm just praying for that property, that God's kingdom, his will be done. And at the same time, pray next steps for us. So just a lot of like highs and lows. So I just found myself, if I'm just real honest, just needing to stop and to just breathe. And there's actually a resource that I want to share with you as we begin a new series today. If you search in your phones, take your phones out if you would, those who have smartphones. This was an app that I actually downloaded that just helped me over this month more than I realize. It's actually, if you search in the store or the app store, whatever that looks like for you, if it's Android or iOS, but just search the Pause app. It's actually called the 1 Minute Pause, but if you search Pause app, you'll see a bunch of options. And it actually looks like this. So it's the 1 Minute Pause. It has like that white background with the kind of the pause button, if you think about that. And basically, yeah, I just need to breathe throughout the month. And maybe for you, you're thinking about your family. I know that many of you have talking with you, sickness has gone through your family. Head colds lasting weeks, or someone passes it on to someone else, or looking at our prayer list and seeing people who are sick or loved ones who are sick, and it gets heavy after a while. Or even just thinking about this time of year, the election this week. I'm sick of smear ad campaigns. It's just not helpful. And it just makes me heavy. It just makes my heart heavy. And so I just have needed to just stop and pause and just breathe. And so this app has been super helpful. There's nothing special about it. It's actually made by John Eldridge. He's actually an author and a Christian. And he wrote the book Wild at Heart that was very popular a couple years ago. And it's actually his voice and some others on his team. But I want to start off this series as we think about breathing, because maybe you have some heaviness as well, like I do, or even this last month, or what's going to happen this week, or the next whatever season. But it just was a simple app that's free that just basically has someone lead you in prayer. You can use a 1 minute, a 3 minute, a 5 minute, or a 10 minute guided prayer. And so I leaned on this app. And it just was helpful for me to be reminded that God is God, that ultimately his truth and his purposes will prevail, and I don't need to carry everything. And so I encourage you to get this. And I want to even invite you to experience what this is like. I'm not going to use the app right now, but I want to just demonstrate what it looks like, how it works, and to do this every day as we begin this new series that we're calling Breathe. Just breathe. Because I know I need it. And it's simply, to start off, well, let's just practice breathing. Because maybe for you, you don't even focus on your breath once in a while, but it's helpful. So I'm going to ask if you would you just breathe in your nose and breathe out your mouth. Maybe close your eyes. Let's do it again. Breathe in. Out. One more time. Breathe in your nose. Breathe out. There's something about stopping and resting and the busyness of life. And I want to pray with you as we breathe again what this experience is like on this app. And you could set a notification to do it a certain time in a day or multiple times in a day or 1, 3, 5, or 10 minutes as well. So let's just close our eyes. I'm going to lead us as we breathe in and breathe out. Jesus, we give you everything and everyone. Jesus, I give you everyone and everything to you. I give myself to you, Jesus. I need more of you, God. Fill all of us with more of your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're beginning a series today called Breathe. And this app will be a helpful reminder, and sometimes I need to be led because I feel like sometimes I'm leading everything. It's good to be led by someone else. Sometimes that's in your family or your workplace or whatever that looks like. It's good to have someone else lead you. But I want to look at a passage of Scripture that's going to lead where we're going over the next 3 weeks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It's going to be on the screens, but 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the followers of Christ in that day, and he's encouraging them in a great time of discouragement, a tumultuous time where things are just up and down. They just don't even know what's going on. And he writes this. He says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work, produced by," can you say it with me? "Faith. Your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Faith, hope, and love. Faith, love, and hope. Now, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at each of these words because they give us time to rest, to breathe, to relax. And I love how Pastor Irwin McManus, he's a pastor out in LA, and he's also an author, one of my favorite authors and pastors. He says it this way to his congregation. He says, "We pray that you would live by faith, be known by love, and be a voice of hope." And so that's our prayer over this series, but also beyond. Would you say this with me, this simple prayer? We pray that you would live by faith, be known by love, and be a voice of hope. Because we need that today more than ever. I need that. And so this series that we're entitling Breathe is going to follow the structure of these verses that we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And we're going to study over the next three weeks faith, love, and hope. And today we're going to look at faith. So God, I ask, in these moments, would you speak to us through the power of your word? At a time like this, when there's just a lot of uncertainty, may we rest in your faith. May we respond in love. May we be a voice of hope. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So how would you define faith? That's what we're going to look at today. Faith. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You can use your app on your phone for your Bible, the Bible in front of you in the chair if you don't have one, and you can keep that if you don't have a Bible yourself. But Hebrews chapter 10, here's the context of what happens. What happened, we're going to look at verse 19, but The first word is actually the word therefore. So when you see the word therefore in Scripture, I was taught you need to see what the therefore is there for. It's a connecting thought. Therefore, because of this. And so as you think about this, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. Many people believe it is one of the gospel writers, but we don't know. We're unknown. Scholars don't know who wrote Hebrews. But we do know that the author makes a strong case for Jesus in the first part of Hebrews chapter 10, the first 10 chapters, but 10 in particular. He talks about Jesus as our high priest. He's inviting the reader back into the presence of God. We'll even hear that in the passage we're going to read. Because Jesus, in the first part of chapter 10, is the final sacrifice needed. He is the perfect sacrifice to forgive our sins, that no other sacrifices are needed. And as the letter concludes, the writer describes how we can endure and persevere even when life is difficult, when it's hard, in the roller coaster of life, the highs and the lows. And so therefore, verse 19, therefore, in light of Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice, our high priest, the mediator between mankind, our earth, the world, earth, creation, and God himself, because Jesus is fully God and fully man. Brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, this is what Josh read earlier in our song, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, Jesus' body, given for us. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance. Can you say assurance? Assurance. With the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. 23, he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is, say it with me, he's faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching when Jesus returns, when he will do what he said he did. He said, I will be back. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back and I'm bringing the kingdom of God to earth fully. You see glimpses of it now, but you're going to see heaven and earth come together just like it was in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, except with a lot more people who know me and love me. Now, did you catch verse 22? He says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that, what is it? Faith brings. The full assurance that faith brings. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, no, wait a second, Kevin. Faith brings assurance? Are you sure about that? See, when I think of faith, maybe this is you. Kevin, when I think of faith, I don't think assurance. Assurance is actually the last word that I think about. When I think of faith, I think of taking a leap of faith. You know, like Indiana Jones in the 80s, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he's like, oh boy, leap of faith, and he kind of steps out. Like stepping out on a limb or hoping for a result but not really sure of the outcome. That's how I view faith. It's not assurance. But if that's you, I want to encourage you. Because as I studied this passage of Scripture and the idea of the assurance that faith brings, I learned a few things I want to pass on to you. In fact, if you're taking notes, the word faith in the original Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek, not English. We've translated it. There's some words that don't really have the full impact. And so as I look at the Greek word for faith, which is pistis, it's pistis, it means to have faith, to believe, to trust. But second, the root word, Greek word, of that word pistis is pithaw. Can you say pithaw? Pithaw. Which literally translates, the root word of faith translates to persuade or to be persuaded of. That's the original word, the root word of faith. To be persuaded of something is to see the evidence for it or come to assurance that you believe by what is being said. So in other words, that means the root word for faith or the root of faith means to be persuaded towards a particular belief. Now, you might be thinking, okay, that's why you went to Bible college, Kevin. I don't even know what you're talking about. That's why you went to seminary. But let me illustrate this, put this point to you, what I mean by persuaded towards a particular belief. See, what happens when you jump in the air? You typically come back down, right? Why? Because of the law of gravity, yes. If you've jumped, you know, 10 times or 100 times or 1,000 times in your life, you know that you aren't just going to simply hang there or float away. Why? Because you've been persuaded of this law, the law of gravity, through the evidence that you have personally experienced. Or here's another example. Let's think about when you go into your kitchen or maybe you're in your bathroom and you want to wash your hands and you turn on the faucet. What happens? Water comes out, typically. Now, 99% of the time water comes out. There's always that one time when you turn it and you're like, oh my goodness, this is not good. But typically, you turn the faucet and water spits out of the faucet and you can fill your glass or you can wash your hands. But it is a shock when that one time you turn it on and it ruins the rest of your day. You got to call somebody, a plumber, or you're trying to figure out where is this, what's going on. But typically, when you turn the faucet on, water comes out. Why? Because you've been persuaded that turning on the tap means you've experienced, when you turn it on, water comes out. If you're taking notes, faith is something that you are persuaded of because it's been proven in the past. Faith is something you are persuaded of because of it has been proven in the past. See, we all have faith in something. The question is, are you aware of what you have faith in? Some of you have faith more than you realize in a traffic light, that when it's green, it's red for these people. You don't even think, you just go. You experienced it. You've been persuaded of it. Having faith in God is not a blind agreement, right? It's not a gamble or taking a blind faith. You are choosing to believe and trust God based on evidence of his past activity in your life or someone's life that you trust. This is why verse 23 is so important. Listen, it says this: let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he, God, Jesus, who promised, guess what? He is, say it with me, he's faithful. He's faithful. Based on past evidence, he is faithful. Maybe for you or maybe someone that you know, he is faithful. To have faith in God, if you're taking notes, this is the big idea for today. To have faith in God is to believe, based on his past actions, that you can trust him into the future. You following with me? To have faith in God is to believe, to trust based on who he is, what he's done, that you can trust him into the future. And we even sing about this, one of those songs we sing, that he is our firm foundation. He won't fail us. He won't. He won't. Look at his track record. That doesn't mean that everything that we do in life as a follower of Jesus goes our way. It's our way. When we're called to follow Jesus, we are actually called to die to our desires, our way of thinking, our way of living, our agenda. And it's a picture of baptism, that I no longer live, that I want Christ in my life. I want his way, that he must increase, I must decrease, that I am risen anew in Christ. I trust him, but I have given up my voice, my way, my perspective, my opinion, because his way is better. And so Jesus, he perfectly demonstrates this time and time again in Scripture. Jesus shows us that he is faithful, that he was and he is who he said he is. Multiple times he even said, you know, there's going to be a day, disciples, I want you to know, there's a day when I'm going to be handed over, that I'm going to be beaten, that I'm going to eventually be killed, but I will rise again. He said it numerous times. He is faithful. Even when it came to the cross and his death, Jesus chose to endure that. He didn't have to. He knew he was born to die. But he proved staying on the cross, following through with that action, that he is faithful. See, faithfulness is one of the central themes throughout all Scripture. Why? Because God is faithful. He has not failed, nor will he. See, if you can look back and see how God good has been in the past, to see the hope that we have for the future, it gives us the strength that we need for today. That's how it works. Being persuaded of what he's done. The assurance that comes with faith. And look at what the writer of Hebrews writes in the next chapter, chapter 11. Let's look there, verse 1. He just talks about faith as well. He says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and, say it with me, assurance about what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. And then the rest of this chapter, what we call the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Some of you are football fans and you know about the Hall of Fame. This is the Hall of Faith. These are people who have put their assurance, their confidence in God because he is faithful. And it lists these things out. It starts even with creation, about us today with creation. But then it talks about, despite their circumstances, they live by faith. They acted on God's word even when they couldn't see the end result. And they were persuaded of God's ongoing promises and God's faithfulness. And so I'm going to read just some of these. And if you see the word faith, would you say it with me as I read along, beginning in verse 3? By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. And by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. These are just some of the list. It keeps going and going. But verse 6, the author stops and he says this, by the way, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It is impossible to please God without faith. But anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Look at his track record. He is faithful. He is good. And that he will reward those who seek him. See, these verses are where we learn that faith pleases God. That we can please God. Did you know that? Amen. We can please God. That faith is the foundation of our relationship with him. It's our trust in his character, our trust in his promises. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. See, because faith truly is holding on tightly to something because of past actions. Right? So faith is holding on tightly to something because of past actions. And this is why we get hurt feelings when what we've held on to tightly doesn't come through the way we anticipated. Like when we turn on the faucet and no water comes out, we get angry. It's why we get angry when our car doesn't start in the morning, because typically it starts when you turn the key. Or when a close friend that we've trusted, we hold close and tight, when they betray us, that's why we get angry. Or when something or someone we've trusted in here on earth fails us, it doesn't meet our expectation that we thought it would. And this is why we shouldn't put our faith in any candidate or political party. They fail us. And this is why when our job hunt keeps coming up empty, we persevere, because our job is not our God. And this is why we don't put faith in our money or in our stock, the stock market, or in investments or in possessions or in another person outside of Jesus, because everything else will fail us. We need to let go of those things that we hold so tightly to and only hold to God himself, to his son Jesus, and trust his spirit. He is the only one who will never fail us. And our trust is in him. We need to let go and breathe in the faithfulness of God, that he's trustworthy, that Jesus doesn't fail us. Now, I realize, if I'm real honest, for some of you today, maybe you're wrestling with doubts. Maybe you're in a season of your life when you're questioning God's faithfulness. And that's okay. It's okay to acknowledge it. God knows. But I want you to know that this space is a safe space for you to be able to question and to wrestle and to work through your doubts with others. See, doubt is kind of like in between unbelief, doubt, and belief. Doubt does not mean that you don't have faith. Doubt is actually an element of faith, that every one of us asks the question, what do I believe? And so I want to encourage you, doubts are okay. If you live in that space for a long, 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 long time, that's not okay. But to be in that space, to take another step, is okay. Or to be in unbelief and to take a step even into doubt, that's good. This is a space where you can do that. But know this, God is certain of you, even when you're uncertain of him. That he loves you, he wants a relationship with you, even if you're unsure if you can trust him. Hallelujah. And I'm sorry if I need to just kind of talk about the elephant in the room maybe for some of you. I'm sorry if the church, the body of Christ, has contributed to any of the hurt and question that you may be feeling right now of why you're in that doubt space or why you're in that unbelief space. Maybe you felt betrayed by the church, the people of God. See, the church isn't God. It's people. It's the people of God. And though we're trying to all become more like Jesus, we often fall short. And I myself am a pastor, or maybe you've had someone, maybe I hurt you, maybe a small group leader or someone that you looked up to, maybe they've contributed to the doubts and the confusion and uncertainty, and I just want to say this. I'm sorry. See, too often, people hold church leaders, people with influence over us, to such a high esteem that we forget that they're human, that they're going to let us down. I will let you down. I'm sorry. I'm a work in progress just like you. I am not perfect. I am looking to follow Jesus more today than I did yesterday, but I am still flawed. I want to become better. I want to become more like him, but I will not be perfect this side of glory. And so maybe you're hurt today because you're like, wow, I don't know because of that person or this person or that person. That's holding me back. That is not God. And I want you to know, I have people in my life just like that. People that I looked up to that I thought were like, whoa, this person's right there, and they disappointed me. But that doesn't tarnish my view of who God is. We are all a work in progress. And so I want to encourage you, don't let that be an excuse. Look to the one, draw near to the one who is God. We are the body of Christ, flawed and imperfected, becoming more like him together, but still imperfect. I want to wrap up our time talking about this topic with what the Hebrew writer writes next in verse 24 of chapter 10. He says this will encourage you. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward, say it with me, love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. This is why it's so important to be together, even in this physical space. But encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching when Jesus will make all things new, because the best is yet to come. You see, because people, we, even followers of Jesus, we can damage our faith or we can build our faith. And so I want you to think of it that way. Back in August at Church in the Park, we did a whole series called Polarized, where we talked about how God has shown us reconciliation, that he sent his son to die, to forgive us our sins, to make us right, to bridge the gap of the separation between God and us because of our sin. And God invited us to not just be reconciled to him, but for us to then reconcile to one another. If we're at odds with someone else, why? Because we were meant to be at a place where we are restored, not torn down. This is what his kingdom is about. It's quick to forgive. It's quick to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and to say, I love you, and I want to encourage you. And yes, the church, even our church, we may fail you. I may fail you. But what if we could have a faith that perseveres even through failure? What if our church family was strong enough so that we could express our hurt and our pain and admit its wrongs? What if our church body was strong enough that we could lovingly call people back when they stray and when they don't come through, like the prodigal son that says, it's okay, we've been waiting for you, come back. That I'm reconciled to God and I want to reconcile with you because of his love that's in me. Love keeps no record of wrongs. But what if our church family, what if, just imagine, what if our church family had faith for us, even when we weren't sure where our faith went? You need faith? Borrow some of mine. That we are the same body, that God has created us to be living in community together, to be reminded that we are not alone, that this is not how it's always going to be, and that God is faithful. You can have assurance in that. This is the church. This is what the body of Christ is at its best, not at its worst. And so verse 24 and 25, they call us to lean into the church, to be a part of the church, to continue to gather, to encourage and love one another, and to point to the one who gave his life for us as a model for how we should live and love one another. Not be away from it and turn away when things are hard or difficult. It's to lean in and to get the support and love we need. See, the church, it acts as a grounding point in giving us faith, our anchor amidst the unsettled world we live in. And this is why our times together here in this space are so important. It's a warm, loving space with great coffee. Focused on Jesus. With great kids programs and smiling faces. And awesome worship music and times where we can reflect and grow. But the biggest thing is to help us breathe. To remind us of God's faithfulness throughout any season of life, that we are not alone, that he is good. Look at his track record. He has never failed us.
Amen.
Remember, our assurance isn't in our church. It's not in our church body, or it's not in a political party, or in our education, or in our job, or another relationship outside of Christ. Our assurance is in Jesus and his promises. And so my prayer, every week, not just this week, but every week that we gather since we've started, is that our time together provides a breather for you. May today and each time we gather be a chance for you, for me, to catch our breath, to together refresh our souls, to be reminded of what is true, that God, his son Jesus, is the way, is the truth, and is the life, so that we can breathe. No matter what happens this week, or next week, or next year. And to remember God's goodness and his faithfulness so that we can trust him more today than we did yesterday. Because his truth will prevail. Would you pray this prayer with me for each other? That we pray that you would live by faith, be known by love, and be a voice of hope. Jesus, this is our prayer. I pray for each person here. If they're in that season or that stage of unbelief, would they take a step toward you by simply believing with the assurance that comes in knowing your goodness? That God, if they need to borrow my faith, that they would do so even now. That God, we trust you. Or maybe someone's in that doubt season. They're just uncertain. Maybe they've had a month or a lifetime of up and downs, and they're saying, God, where are you? May they know that you have never changed. You've always been. You always will be. That you are the only constant, consistent foundation in this world, in our life. That you can trust you, depend upon you, and that today they would take a step toward toward you and you meet them in that space. Or for those of us who have belief, God, would you make us more like yourself? Would you assure us with confidence that you are with us, that you are for us, and the best is yet to come? We love you. And we trust you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, would you stand? We're going to wrap up with singing one more song together.